8 and letters to the editor. Tales of Two Heart Attacks. This story comes from Robert Johnson. Recently, I suffered a heart attack, but now, back at home recovering, I keep envisioning two different scenarios. The first, a factual account of what really happened, occurred when I was blue-lighted to an NHS hospital. There, I was greeted by a group of nurses and doctors, all of whom were reassuring, calm and professional, as they explained what was happening. I was then taken to an operating room where, again, staff were supportive and efficiently did their job of inserting a stent into my blocked artery. They were confident in what they were doing and were obviously highly trained professionals, keeping me informed as they worked. I remained in hospital for just a few days, and all this wonderful care was free. The second is an imagined story and rather different. Instead of being taken to a hospital, I was delivered to a glitzy well-being centre, a beautiful environment with subdued lighting and pot plants. At reception, I was greeted by a large orange-looking gentleman who called himself Donald. He asked how I would be paying for my treatment and soon had me signing my home over to his business. He was very confident that what I really required was a nice relaxing massage, and all that NHS stuff was just a big con. He handed me over to his care team, a friendly-looking chap called Nigel, who reassured me that everything would be okay and offered me a pint and a cigarette to calm my nerves. His assistant, Kemi, stated they were certain they knew what the problem was, and I required an injection of disinfectant, a tasty portion of fish and chips with extra chips, followed by a generous helping of sticky toffee pudding. In the background, there was a fidgety little man called Tommy, who I think was the porter. Not surprising in this story, I did not survive. These stories indicate very different outcomes, so I am truly grateful I was taken to the hospital, developed upon years and years of scientific research, and not the alternative. On reflection, the glitzy well-being centre, staffed by smiley, friendly and equally confident people, were offering me a superficially attractive option. They were not interested in my future welfare, but in making money, as this is in their DNA. Back in the real world, one could propose that these are the very concerning options facing our vulnerable planet and the NHS. Thank you to the scientists who work in the background and to the NHS for saving my life.
Thank you for saying yes. Letter from Tara Carlisle, social organiser for Oddfellows Heart of the West. Making new friends and trying something different can feel harder as we get older. That's why I'd like to say a warm thank you to everyone who came along to our group events during Friendship Month this September. Local social groups like Heart of the West Oddfellows are here to offer a friendly space where you can meet others, share some company, and have activities to look forward to. If you weren't able to join us this time, please don't worry. There are many more opportunities ahead. In the coming weeks, we've got a talk about pumpkins and squashes with samples and the chance to buy pickles and chutneys on Monday the 20th of October, and a cheese tasting and quiz at 12 p.m. on Thursday the 6th of November. We also have regular get-togethers and coffee mornings at Austin's Newton Abbott on Monday the 6th of October at 11 a.m. and Caledonian Talk Bay on Monday 27th of October at 11 a.m. If you'd like to come along, you'll be made very welcome. You can get in touch with me on 07909 449 7703 or by email at tara.carlisle@oddfellows.co.uk, and I'll be happy to send you a diary of local events or answer your questions. You can also see what's coming up at www.oddfellows.co.uk/events. We'd be delighted to meet you.
Simon Honey writes, "Where's the decade of national renewal? If someone offered you £1 million to kill your grandmother, would you take it? I hope not. What if accepting £10 million meant thousands more early deaths, by making air pollution worse, for example? What if a billionaire profited from a product that slowly poisoned humanity? Would you support them or fight to stop it? Jim Ratcliffe, INEOS, Maximising Plastic Production. If economic growth is treated as an end in itself, that's the kind of thing that happens, and that's exactly what the UK government is doing. They focus on the dosh and downplay the harm. Adding an extra runway at Heathrow will probably cause around 100 extra deaths a year, worsen pollution and make the lives of those who live there even more of a living hell. Meanwhile, more than 20 more airports have plans to expand. All the while, the plastic industry grows relentlessly, quietly embedding toxins in our bodies, air and soil. The building industry is being allowed to bypass planning rules by paying to offset damage elsewhere instead of preventing it on their own sites. Where is the line between growth that harms and growth that heals? Can we design a system of governance that rewards regeneration instead of harm? Or are we doomed to support profit chasing forever while the rest of society suffers and disintegrates? Labour promised change, yet their overall strategy embeds widespread harm through their outdated and incomplete conception of growth. However, Reform or Conservatives would make things far worse. Labour, stop pretending growth at any cost is acceptable. Reward what creates well-being. De-incentivise what creates harm. Jobs that create long-term harm for the many while creating short-term financial gain for a few are not worth having. Let's see that decade of national renewal that you promised." And that's the end of the letters to the editor.